I'm going to be exploring with you this morning a topic called Christian nationalism. What is it? How does it shape our current climate, religious, social, cultural? It was recently reported that one of our UU congregation religious exploration middle school age class was studying a curriculum about other religions and faiths. This involves the class visiting other places of worship, synagogues, temples, meeting houses. And when they were visiting an evangelical Christian church, the pastor asked the group if one of the girls in the group, if she was saved. And she said, and I quote her response, "In my church, we try not to get lost." Well, what I'm going to be exploring with you this morning is a topic that might leave you more lost than found with all of the descriptions and assertions and claims I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to be distinguishing between a political ideology, Christian nationalism, and the broad religious tradition, Christianity. This is a definition. It does not matter whether the United States is or ever was a Christian nation. What matters is that a significant number of Americans believe that it is. The chaos of the Capitol insurrection on January 6, 2021 is still bewildering for many of us. The riot was also a riot of images, a wooden cross, a wooden gallows, Christian flags, Confederate flags, banners that said, "Jesus saves" and "Don't tread on me," camouflage shirts, bulletproof vests. But these confusing and even seemingly contradictory symbols are part of an increasingly becoming familiar ideology, Christian nationalism. Christian nationalism is one of the oldest and most powerful currents in American politics. But until the insurrection, it was invisible to most Americans. It was invisible to most conservative white Christians because it has been the water that they swim in and the air in which they breathe. It was invisible to most secular progressives because they would prefer to believe that Christian nationalism is a move on the fringe element or fringe part of society. It's not important. Most Americans hold to an inclusive view of religion, freedom, protective of people of all faiths or none. Americans adhere to nearly 3,000 religious and spiritual traditions protected by the First Amendment right to believe as they choose without fear of discrimination or harm. The Establishment Clause safeguards this diversity of belief by setting out the expectation that the government won't play favorites among religious traditions or favor one religion over another. Christian nationalism rejects these constitutional guarantees, instead seeking to privilege their beliefs above all others. I'll be drawing on recent scholarship and surveys that have been studying this movement and showing that its proponents pose a distinct threat to our pluralistic democracy. Pluralism. Remember the word we heard this morning in our story. What is Christian nationalism? Let me try and put some meaning to the term. Christian nationalism is a cultural framework that compresses together an American identity with an exclusive form of religious identity. rooted in a partial truth that we were founded as a Christian nation and therefore enjoy a special favor of the Holy or God. Christian nationalism incorporates anti-democratic notions of white supremacy, patriarchy, nativism, authoritarianism, and seeking to concentrate power in a select group of their believers. The author Catherine Stewart, in her book The Power Worshippers, Inside the Dangerous Rise of Religious Nationalism, notes this: because Christian nationalism is identified, or more accurately, because it identifies itself with a religion, the movement is often understood as a set of religious and or theological positions. But she emphasizes this: Christian nationalism is first and foremost a political movement. Its principal goal is to have its most active leaders ascend to positions of power and control. When Donald Trump survived an assassination attempt last month, most of us responded with some degree of thankfulness for the luck that saw the bullet graze the former president and not kill him. Now, some Christian supporters of Trump believe something else was at work here. According to Al Mohler, the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, said this: God and God alone saved Trump. For God alone is the sovereign ruler of the cosmos. And then he said, the reality of God's providence explains why Trump lives. Now, mind you, Mohler didn't say whether God and God alone was responsible for the death of Cory Compertori, who was killed by a stray bullet that same moment when he was trying to protect his wife and children. It killed him. So while Mohler was rejoicing that God had saved Trump, Compertori's family was burying the man they loved. Seems contradictory here. But Mohler was hardly alone in his views. At last month's Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, Trump said that he had survived only, his words, by the grace of Almighty God. I had God on my side. Trump would later express his thanks to a fan whose Truth Social post said, among other things, we are witnessing the power of God, and God chose Donald Trump for this task. This goes without question. By fusing Americanness with an exclusive view of Christianity, non-Christians and those who identify as Christians but don't meet its qualifications, this larger group are perpetually suspect by Christian nationalists. In practice, this ideology motivates laws and policies that undermine voting rights for marginalized people, excludes diverse perspectives from public schools, withholds access to reproductive and gender-affirming health care, and more. Christian nationalism draws on those symbols and language of Christian religious life in favoring political and cultural goals. Supporters tend to believe that the federal government should declare the United States as a Christian nation, believe our laws and policies should be guided by Christian principles, support the display of religious symbols, like in Louisiana, to display the Ten Commandments in every classroom of the public schools, to bring prayer back in schools, and like in Oklahoma, where it has been ordered that Bibles should be placed in all public school classrooms. Yet the, quote, Christian elements of this ideology are more about identity than religion. researchers find that strong supporters of Christian nationalism generally adhere to political conservatism, distinguishable from party affiliation, rather than show traditional markers of religiosity, like regularly attending a house of worship. In February, this study by Robert P. Jones from the organization that he founded, the Public Religion Research Institute, PRRI, together with the Brookings Institution, and in a study partly funded by our UU Veach Foundation. How many know what the UU Veach Foundation? Yeah, it's located in one of the large congregations in New York, but it was created to support studies about what's happening in our society. The study was called A Christian Nation: Understanding the Threat of Christian Nationalism to American Democracy and Culture. Now, you can't see all of this, but let me just go down and show you that it was a study of 6,212 persons, 2,849 male, 3,363 female. It represented Republican, Independent, Democrat, and other don't know their political affiliation. And then this group of ethnic identities, white, non-Hispanic, mostly 4,587, black, non-Hispanic, Hispanic, AAPI, multiracial, other. And then this age group. And then this religious identity, white, evangelical, Protestant, white, mainline Protestant, black Protestant, Hispanic, other Protestants of color, white, half. So you can see a variety, a number of religious identifications. We would probably down here in the lower bottom, non-Christian religion, but that's part. In the survey, supporters were asked this group of five questions, and if you agreed or disagreed with them. These are the questions. God has called Christians to exercise dominion over all areas of American society. Agree or disagree? The U.S. government should declare America a Christian nation. Being Christian is an important part of being truly American. If the U.S. moves away from our Christian foundations, we will not have a country anymore. And then U.S. laws should be based on Christian values. They were assigned a place on a Christian nationalism scale. These are the percent who agreed with that. And like other studies that have suggested Christian nationalists are only nominally Christian church-going, the PRRI Brookings survey found Christian nationalists are significantly more likely than other U.S. adults to be connected to churches and to say religion is important in their lives. There's a strong positive correlation between frequency of church attendance and likelihood of being a Christian nationalist adherent, or at least sympathizer. Christian nationalism as a worldview is not new, but the term appears to be. Indeed, a third of the respondents said that they had not heard of the term. For that reason, it's impossible to say whether the ranks of Christian nationalism has grown over time. In their book, Taking America Back for God, Christian Nationalism in the United States, sociologists Andrew Whitehead and Sam Perry found that about 20% of U.S. adults strongly embrace Christian nationalist ideas. The PRRI survey is more in line with the 2021 Pew Research survey that found that just 10% of U.S. American adults are what Pew identified as hardcore faith and flag conservatives. Whatever the precise number, the survey confirms that by a ratio of 2-1, U.S. adults reject Christian nationalist worldviews. The vast majority, 70% of Americans, do not think the government should declare America a Christian nation. And nearly 60% do not think its laws should be based on Christian values. Still, Christian nationalists have an outsized influence on U.S. politics. To back that claim, let me say that more than half of Republicans now identify as Christian nationalists or sympathizers. The survey concludes, and some of the members of Congress, notably Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, proudly endorses the label. Former President Donald Trump calls himself a nationalist, and the survey finds Christian nationalists have far more favorable views of Trump than the general population. Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, in his first speech to the assembled body, sounded like a preacher from a pulpit. I quote, "I believe that Scripture, the Bible, is very clear that God is the one who raises up those in authority," he began. "He raises up each of you, all of us, and I believe that God has ordained and allowed each one of us to be brought here for this specific moment and this time." Well, that makes the political power of Christian nationalists far greater than their actual numbers in the population. Christian nationalist influence is also felt theologically. Two-thirds of Christian nationalists believe that the biblical obligation to the poor are more like charitable acts by individuals rather than the task of a just society. U.S. adults as a whole, however, are divided. 54% say biblical injunctions to care for the poor are about charitable acts by individuals, compared with 47%, almost the other half, believe that primarily talking about our obligation to create a just society. In other words, it's responsibility of the larger society to care for those who are less able to. Those who identify as Christian nationalists overwhelmingly trust far-right news outlets like Fox News, Network, Newsmax, One America News Network. On issues such as race, immigration, and Islam, their views diverge significantly from the larger majority of society. About a third of U.S. adults affirm that core tenet of so-called great replacement theory and believe that immigrants are invading our country and replacing our cultural and ethnic background. But 71% of avowed Christian nationalists and 57% of Christian nationalist sympathizers agree the replacement theory is taking place. And I heard this just on Friday in a video of Donald Trump in Arizona speaking to his gathered group, claiming that over 100 million immigrants have crossed the border during the Biden administration. Now, that's just falsely a lie, but this was, I mean, we heard it. I asked Carly, did he say 100 million? And she said, yeah. Not all Christian nationalists are white, the survey found, but white Christian nationalists hold consistent views on race, immigration, and Islam. Christian nationalism that I have been describing draws on centuries of exclusionary rhetoric and violence. As a work toward a more just society, we need to forge more connections with those who believe in a pluralistic and a more truly inclusive democracy. This is the chart that shows the way in which white evangelical Protestant adherents and sympathizers are almost 67-68% of their group. And this is a circle graph showing a breakdown of adherents, sympathizers, skeptics, rejectors, and no score. Now, I want to conclude with these remarks. The freedom to believe as we choose is a fundamental component of our vision of society. And we should refuse to surrender ground to anti-democratic activists who seek to recast religious freedom as a license to discriminate. True religion, true religious freedom, protects people of all faiths and or none. Christian nationalist appeals are becoming increasingly common in our society. But the anti-democratic ideology is not new, even as it gains cultural and political force. By learning to recognize how and the different ways Christian nationalism seeks power and control in our society, we, the dominant majority in our society, should join efforts with others who are like-minded, who have a strong and create a unified voice and reject those claims so that we can deliver on our nation's foundational promises. So may it be. Thank you for listening. How are the mainline Protestant denominations dealing with this? American Baptist and other Baptist organizations, NBC, the National Baptist Convention, which is predominantly over 4 million black American, they have issued a statement about the dangers of Christian nationalism, especially black Christians know that they are part of the outside group. There's an organization called Americans for the Separation of Church and State. They also represent mainline Protestant denominations. There hasn't been as large an outspoken voice, however. At least I haven't noticed, but I think it's coming. I think you'll be seeing more statements about how we should be uniting our voices against some of these movements in. What I have seen on a survey by the Southern Poverty Law Center in Montgomery, Alabama, they have identified a number of hate groups, and they do it by states. And you would be surprised how these groups are in Wisconsin. So that it's not just the main religious denominations, but there are others, too, who are concerned about this. SPLC is one of them. Does that help? How do we engage? How do we fight? The word fight really is symbolic of what we're engaged in. It's going to be a battle, and I think we need to all take as much effort or make as much effort to inform ourselves and to be ready to make some kind of a contribution to that effort. I don't have anything more specific, but I think it's important that we recognize how we can bring ourselves to a greater struggle effort. What is, in my understanding, Christian faith, if you take, for example, the parable of the Good Samaritan, the Samaritan is not considered an in-group within the community, but Jesus raises the Samaritan as the one who has expressed compassion for someone who has fallen along the wayside and is helping regardless of their close identity. Someone other is lifted up and compassion is expressed. That's a basic message. And that parable is considered one of the basic parables that we learn about that Christian faith. So, is that? I think when Christian nationalism usurps their understanding, it doesn't include caring for those outside of their group. If you're outside, you're considered part of the demonic. And they use that term demonic very often as a way to denigrate others in the society. Yeah. Okay. You said NPR had a half-hour program on Christian nationalism, and that's available on the archive. Yes. And then you said that you know of Christian evangelicals who are not conservative or Trump supporters. And that's true. I tried to bring that out in the survey. It was clearly not 100% of that Christian evangelical group. There are many who don't hold those very strict understandings and are open to a broader understanding of their faith and how it embraces everyone. Our closing words are by Reverend Richard S. Gilbert. As we leave this community of the Spirit, may we remember the difficult lesson that each day offers more things than we can do. May we do what needs to be done, postpone what does not, and be at peace with what we can be and do. Therefore, may we learn to separate that which matters most from that which matters least.